You're very welcome to Across the Line with me, Stephen Gleeson, here for Shane this week. So it's a lovely evening here in Tipperary. No inter-county action bar the Camogie team who are playing this weekend. The Tip Intermediates are in a Division 2 relegation playoff against Dublin. We'll be looking ahead to that over the next while. And we have lots of stuff to get through here this evening. We're going to hear in a minute or so from Eamon Corcoran, Tipperary All-Star, of course, back in the day, and manager currently of JK Brackens. We'll also hear from John Callanan from Clare, who has a new book out at the moment, and he'll be looking ahead to the Munster Championship. And we'll hear from Liam Cahill, who I spoke to in Waterford last weekend. That's the Waterford manager. Katie McCormick will be here with Camogie. We'll also hear from Philip Kelly about the drive for referees in Tipperary, and Mike Young will also be on as well to talk us through the NDTL, which is going on at the moment, the North Tip District League, I should say here. But Eamon Corcoran is on the line and joins us now. Good evening, Eamon. Hi, Eamon. How you doing?
I'm very good.
Good stuff. So, Eamon, it's a time of year, I suppose, that all the club teams are back in action. The inter-county teams are just getting ready for the championship. And over in Templemore, you're the manager this year of Brackens. It must have been great to get back to play Cahill Cup and get playing County League over the last while.
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, from our point of view, we got out against Thurles last Sunday. We played Cahill Cup against Strum Wednesday night, albeit the result wasn't great, but as I said, we've been locked up long enough, so it's great for the players to be back out in the field again. And also, I think from a management point of view, to be getting back out where we really want to be. So hopefully, as I said, in the next number of weeks, months, we can get spectators back in looking at the matches, because that's really when we start to feel it again, you know.
Mm. And Eamon, did you find that when you were let back into the fields that there was a huge enthusiasm there from players?
There was. I suppose it wasn't the same for the players. I think you talk to any manager out there, the players would have been on programmes over the last number of weeks and months and working on individual programmes, and then some clubs might have been doing Zoom sessions, but there's nothing better than getting back out in the field. And like I know the first night we were back, the numbers were great, and thanks be to God, they're still up, because it has been tough for everyone over the last number of weeks and months, and enthusiasm was there. And just talking to obviously other clubs and managers out there and players, I think there's a real sense of just that enjoyment to get back out on the field again, and looking forward to, obviously everyone's going through the league matches at the moment, but really looking forward to the draw. I think it's on Monday night what the championship draw is going to be, and hopefully if the championship won't be until September, it means Tipperary are after having a good run, so it's to try and mind ourselves and get the timing right, you know.
Yeah, and this draw on Monday, it's live on Tip FM on Extra Time from 7 p.m. on Monday evening, and we'll be going through all the hurling and the football draws. It is absolutely massive. From your point of view, looking at the Tip Senior Hurling Championship, you're really looking at Killadangan, Borrisalee, Sarsfields and AN Other, which could be any one of seven or eight teams across Tipperary, up to the top 10, really.
Yeah, you look at, I suppose, Tier 1 and Tier 2, you know, when the draw is made, and like you have Connaughty in there, obviously Lochmore, as you mentioned, the Killadangans, Burris, Nenagh, Thurles, Drums, you can go through them. But we saw last year, obviously having the 16 teams there can be shocks in it, and I think, in fairness from a county board point of view, they've really got it right with very few mismatches last year in the championship, and obviously you have Mullaghone coming up. So like, there's huge enthusiasm and everyone looking forward to the championship, and I think last year we saw some fantastic games, and I think you saw what Lochmore did in both hurling and football last year, right to the very end. And I suppose from our point of view, it was our first year up senior, and we got, I suppose, in one way a good result against Killadangan, another way a disappointing result when we drew. We lost the free at the very end. Sorry, give away a free at the end to draw the game. So like, it's great for teams that are coming up to compete at that level. And I just think when you have the 16 teams there in the same in Seamus O'Regan, there really is competition now in Tipperary at both Seamus O'Regan and at senior A level.
Mm. And do you feel that summer championship really that we had last year, where you had, you know, the start and the whole way through, rather than the stop start that has been in place for a while, where you play a game in April and then you're kind of let go for a while and you have to come back again for autumn, is this a better format that we have now?
Yeah, there can be mixed views on it. I think last year, in a certain way, it did help having the county guys in training with the clubs right through. They just bring that extra level of intensity when they come in, you know. And I think all clubs would be very happy with that. But likewise, this year, we have the league without the county players, and then we have a straight run at it. It's hard, I suppose, from a player's point of view and also from a management point of view and a strength and conditioning trainer's point of view to try and time it right when you have a match early in the season, then you're off and you're coming back. So I think once you know within reason there's a date and you can aim for that date, I think it gives everyone a chance. But I said last year was probably an exception in the sense that you had the county players train with the club lads and it was great. So this year the county players will probably just come in right at the very end and back with the clubs. But look, we can't complain. I said the time for complaining is gone now. All you want to do is get back out playing again, because we saw what it was like without GAA for a number of months, you know.
And you're going to be busy in Brackens because you're a dual club, and there's so many dual clubs that really have to tailor training, you know, very well at a certain time of the year. Like you're looking in the mid alone, you have Lochmore there, you have Upper Church there as well, you have mine as well, and you know there's a lot of teams that, you know, take football very seriously across the divisions in Tipperary. So to get it right for the championship is, you know, it is an intricate business.
No, look, obviously you have to time it right, but as a club, you make the decision, you're playing dual, and you don't make excuses, you go for it. Like, I think to be successful as a dual club, players have to play both. It's a bit probably ironic for me to say it, because when you played hurling, played very little football, but coming in as a manager, you really want them playing both codes and having everyone training together, and you can pick up the hurley and then transfer to football, because the way the game has gone in hurling at the moment, you need to be as fit for both codes. It's running games. But I think hats off to Lochmore again last year. Like they proved that you can really be successful in both if you get the timing right. And the year before, I suppose, we were at Seamus Arena level, we got to the senior football final and we were successful in both. So I think when the clubs make a decision, you go for it. Some people say it can be a disadvantage, but I do think, you know what, if you can tailor the training and time it right and have the same cohort of players, you have a chance to do both. But I think from a Tipperary point of view, it's good that clubs are taking it serious. And I know you mentioned a number of clubs in mid-Tipperary. I know football is taken very serious, and I can only speak for ourselves within JK Brackens.
And Eamon, does it become really clear after Monday, all of a sudden you start seeing who you're up against? You know, like all the names will go into the hat, the draw will be done, it'll be live on air on Tip FM, and you know from there on what shape your year takes. That must be huge, really.
Yeah, look, I think everyone likes to know who they're playing, and like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the draw is, you have to get out there and play to your potential. But it's like anything. As a supporter, at the start of the year, you're waiting to see who Tipperary draw in the championship. And likewise, at club level, everyone will be waiting Monday night for the draw and see who comes out of the hat. And like now, with the 16 teams there, there's no such thing as an easy draw in it. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter from seed one to seed four. Anyone can come through in groups, as we saw last year. But you're always waiting to see who you're going to draw. And then you'll probably do your homework then over the next number of weeks, once try and get to some of the county league games to see who you're coming up against and prepare for that. But probably more so, probably enthusiasm or curiosity more than anything else to know who you're going to be playing in the championship, more so than from a prep point of view.
And like it's a huge time for fundraisers as well. I was over in Templemore when you launched your big one this summer, the camper van. How's it going for you over there in Brackens?
Yeah, it's actually, in fairness, from an initiative point of view, hats off to the chairman and the committee. They come up with the idea of obviously purchasing a camper van for €75,000 and €25 a ticket to raise money for the club. And to date, there's been huge interest in it. It's been going great. Obviously, it's restricted to 8,000 people. And I think, and I've said this all along, when you're doing fundraisers, we tend to hit same people in your parish, the traders of the town who have been under quite a lot of pressure over the last number of months with COVID. So it's good to be not knocking on the same doors again, because I just looking at the people that are entering the draw, there's people from all over the country who want to obviously win a camper van. They don't know who JK Brackens are, and they're just going online and purchasing the ticket. So I think it's twofold. It's good that JK Brackens is getting his name out there and people are interested, like where they're from, what's about the club, but also the double benefit of raising much needed funds, and it has been excellent so far. But look, hopefully over the next number of weeks it continues to go the way it's going, because I think there's great momentum there, and there's been great support right across, not just the parish of Templemore or Tipperary, right across the country for the opportunity to win a camper van.
Yeah, winacamper.com, is that the one?
Winacamper.com.
Great stuff. So that's that. Eamon, looking to the Intercounty Championship, you know, we're very close to Clare against Waterford, and then Tip will play the winners of that one. You know, where are Tipperary after that game in Walsh Park last weekend? What's your deductions from it?
Yeah, I suppose, like, before the Waterford game, we would have been looking in and saying, like, the result against Limerick and Cork, the draw is a good win over Waterford. Obviously, the Westmeath performance was, I suppose, you have to take it what it was, but like there was momentum there. And last Sunday, it was a setback. Like the way Waterford played, they really ran at us. They showed great pace. So I think Liam would have went away probably more questions than answers on the back of that. But I've seen in the past with Liam and the management team, any time they've had a setback, they're very good to deal with adversity. And I talk about this bounce-back ability. They seem to be able to learn from defeat. So there's a lot to learn from last Sunday, albeit it was the last league game, and people say it mightn't have meant much, but the players that were on show wanted to perform, wanted to put their name on that team sheet for the match against either Waterford or Clare in a few weeks' time. So there's probably worrying out there that we'd struggle to pick our first 15 on the back of that. But as I said, we're looking at the games, but I'm sure Liam, Tommy, Owen, Darren, Eamon are watching the guys in training every week and they're timing it. But I think you'd have to be a bit more worried after last Sunday with the way Waterford ran at us and we struggled at times. But as I said, we've a few weeks out that we might be able to get things sorted and place the team in a position that, or the players in a position that we'll be right for a few weeks.
A lot of people would say that you had probably 11 or 12, maybe 13 even, of the starting team that we'll see in the Championship. John McGrath, we've seen him do it before. He's you know, looking for that top form, and you know, is great in the summertime when he finds that top form. Bubbles as well, another player that we saw a bit of, patches of, and you know, is working his way back into training. We're without Niall O'Mara now due to an appendix issue, and that's really kind of he's a huge loss to the forwards. But would you say there was maybe 12, 13 of the starting team, or you know, could we expect a wild card, someone like Owen Connolly that we haven't seen before? We saw Michael Ryan do that with Dan McCormack in 2016, or Seamus Kennedy, just throw them in and see, and they were able to swim rather than sink. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't think we will. I think Liam has tended to stick with the guys that have served him well and are big day performers. And as I said, with 12, 13, you could probably name, like, if you go through the league, Brian O'Mara started very well there. Unfortunately, he picked up the injury. And sometimes you can play your best games when you haven't been playing either, because you've been missed and he had a good performance that day. Like, we've seen Paddy Cadell, we've seen Brian McGrath perform in the league. Probably between the three of them, maybe one of them or two of them might get in with a shot, but I don't see any player that hasn't seen any game time in the league being thrown in. That's personally, unless there's something happening inside in training, as I said, that we don't know about. But we might see Paddy Cadell or Brian O'Mara or Brian McGrath get breaking in 3 weeks' time, which would be great for either of the guys to get a chance. But I think Liam knows what he has with his 12, 13 guys that, and the big occasion, they can perform. As I said, we've seen in the past where we've probably come into matches not really hitting form, and then all of a sudden it's a strike. So we'd be just hoping there. But as I said, probably more worried now than I would have been after the Westmeath game, with the performance against Waterford and just that level of speed they brought to the game. Can we live with that? But as I said, these lads have performed the big day before. You'd be just hoping, but it'll be interesting to see.
Brilliant stuff. Eamon Corcoran, a pleasure talking to you this evening, as always. And we look forward to chatting again during the summer.
Great stuff. Thanks, Stephen.
And that was Eamon Corcoran there, of course, All-Star with Tip back in the day, many years in the blue and gold jersey. And current manager of JK Brackens, and that winacamper.com is a huge fundraiser for JK Brackens. Well, I'm going to open the phone lines now. It is Father's Day this Sunday, and we've two books to give away here on Across the Line this evening. John Callanan is going to be coming up after the break, and John Callanan is from Clare, played with Clare, has an autobiography out at the moment published by Hero Books, and that's one we have to give away, and a copy as well of Tipperary Game of My Life featuring 35 tip hurlers. Eamon Corcoran, of course, is one of those who features in the book. So the question for the phone lines this evening is, who is the Tipperary senior hurling captain? Who is the Tipperary senior hurling captain? The number to dial is 083-311-3311. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with more hurling after this. You're very welcome back to Across the Line with me, Stephen Gleeson, here for Shane this evening. A lovely sunny evening here in County Tipperary. Our phone lines are open. Two books to win here, and the number to dial is 083-311-3311. Who is the Tipperary senior hurling captain? Well, joining me on the line now is John Callanan, former Clare star. So, John, you're very welcome to Tip FM.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And John, it's great to have a book out, I suppose, in 2021. You had some great years. I was going through it, a great read. One of your early memories is Croke Park with a Tipperary team playing back in the 60s.
That's right. That's right. I was lucky enough to be brought to the All-Ireland in 1962. And it was Tip and Wexford. And I was even shouting for Tip because they were the Munster team. But my biggest memory of it, I think I say it in the book, was Tommy Walsh for Kilkenny. He was playing minor. He had a big head of blondy hair and he had a great game. So I don't really remember much about the senior match. We did meet some of the Tip team on the way home on the Monday night or the Tuesday night. I think they missed the train, the first train or something. Yeah. But it was a great memory.
And Tip won the All-Ireland that year.
Oh yes, Tip. Yeah, they did a great. I mean, that was their. It was Tip's great team, you know, with Donnie Nealon and John Dyle and Maher and Burns. And, you know, they were all kind of household names as I was growing up that time, you know. Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
And the teams you played on then, you just missed out on that era from the mid-90s on when Clare had so much success. But the hurling landscape was different then. Do you see any similarities between then and now in that, you know, Limerick are kind of like that Clare team in the 90s to some degree, going between 73 and 2018 without an All-Ireland? Like, do you see much similarities, or how do you read it even now compared to then and looking at this year in particular?
Yeah, well, I suppose you sort of always have Kilkenny, Cork and Tip, you know, and then, you know, the rest of us, you know, Galway, Limerick, Clare, Wexford, you know, Offaly, we're always trying to make a breakthrough against the big three. And, and that's the reality. I mean, you just have to look at the records, and that's the way it is. So when a team, not one of the big three, I suppose, is making a bit of a breakthrough, like we were trying to do in the 70s and the Clare team did in the 90s and the Offaly team did, it, I suppose there's a bit more of a talking point, and it's a bit more of a media issue, you know, when a team is trying to make a breakthrough. And I mean, certainly Limerick are, I suppose they're determined. It might have taken them a while to get here, but they're certainly not going away anyway. So yeah, there are, but I suppose it's that part of trying to break the hegemony of Tip and Cork and Kilkenny, which is not easy, you know, because of the quality of the players in those three counties on a consistent basis.
Mm. And looking at it this year, the Munster Championship, it's yourselves against Waterford and the winner plays Tip. And it's all happening so fast now, 2 weeks' time, and, the winner stays on then and plays Tip.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, the kind of the pandemic and the way how we play our matches and prepare, you know, I think I hope there will be, as they say, learnings from it and how it can be done more efficiently. And, you know, do we need like lead in times of 6 months for matches? And, I've often felt, you know, the Munster Championship should be and the Leinster Championship should be drawn after the National League, not in November of the previous year. you know, there doesn't really no need for that kind of long running. And obviously then to have more matches and less training, you know, I think that's the, that surely must be the way to go. And I don't think you'll get any, I don't think you'll get players complaining about that. Players would much prefer to be playing matches than training, I think. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it's on top of us now. I mean, championship is there. And it's great. I mean, it's in the height of summer, whereas last year it was, while it was great to have it, it was in November and December. So, you know, there can't be any complaints about the, it's a bit like, you know, Royal Ascot, you better be able to go on the top of the ground or you're in trouble, you know. So,
yeah. So it's yourselves and Washford. Like, would you read into Washford's win over Tip last weekend, or how do you think Clare will face up to them?
Yeah, I mean, we got out of Walsh Park a couple of years ago by a point, I think, and it was at 18 or 19, I'm not sure. But I was very impressed with a newer crop of Waterford players who are now, well, I think who are well bedded in now. And the one thing that struck me about them was that they have real speed. I mean, they have real quickness, you know, that they are quick. They're kind of quick in everything they do. They're quick in their hurling. They're quick on their feet. And I think they will trouble anybody with that. And they have lashings of energy, and they seem to have loads of players. Now, okay, I'm not just talking them up for the sake of it. I mean, they gave us a right hiding last year, you know, which we can't ignore. You know, you can't ignore the last previous run anyway. So I think we're in a better place. I think the league, you know, started, you know, everybody was in you know, it was a doomsday beating, you know, losing to Antrim. But, you know, Antrim proved themselves a handful. So the trajectory for our team has gone maybe in the right direction during the league. But yeah, I mean, you'd have to be impressed with Waterford. You know, I think their speed, you know, and I think Tip would be, if Waterford beat Clare, I suspect that Tip would probably like Clare to beat Waterford. That would be my view.
Mm. So it's three underdogs, really, that side of the draw against Limerick at the other, Limerick and Cork. And like, that's going to be another close game, but Limerick will be favourites for Munster overall.
Yeah, I think they're entitled to be, you know, I think they're well entitled to be substantial favourites. And, you know, I'm not sure about Cork. You know, Cork, I'm not sure that Cork know where they are themselves. You know, I think they have been, I won't say chopping and changing, but their style of play, you know, got absolutely murdered by Limerick there a couple of weeks ago, you know, when they stepped up and stopped all the short book outs and, you know, with a hard press, as they call it. So I'm not sure that Cork are, you know, they might prove me wrong, but I think their underage players, they probably think that they will get more out of their under 21 teams from a couple of years ago than Tip will. But yet, you know, they still have to do it. They still have, and I think it's harder for the Tip under 21s to come through because Tip is a more established team, you know. So I think Cork will end up playing more of those players, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they'd be better. You know, I think Limerick will win that match. Well, I want to, you know, five to seven, 8 points, I'd say.
Washford and Clare, like, is it going to be close? Do you reckon? Like, will it come down to, you know, a breaking ball, or how do you see it?
I don't think it will, because I think it'll be very high scoring. I mean, under Brian Lowen and his management, Clare are kind of unlearning a lot of the way we were playing for years, you know, for a good number of years, going back to our under 21 teams from a couple of years ago, where we were generally playing with a sweeper and, you know, putting a lot of pressure on five forwards against six backs or sometimes seven backs. Players are being asked to take on more individual responsibility, and that makes it dangerous, particularly in the back line, and particularly when you have the Bennetts and the Hutchinsons, you know, who are flyers and have an eye for goal. I think it will be a serious shootout. And we're not incapable of getting goals ourselves. We got some fantastic goals last Sunday against Kilkenny. And so, I don't think it'll be, look, it could be an 8-point win for either side. I think it's more likely to be an 8-point win for Waterford now, I have to say, than an 8-point win for us. I think if we win, we'll probably just get over the line. But, it could be, not sounding, I hope there aren't too many kind of in Killaloo now listening to me saying that, God, I'm very depressed. But I'm not depressed. I mean, I'm not. I think we're going the right direction. Injuries are going to be an issue for both teams. Like, we we got a couple of injuries, Davy Mack and cornerback last Sunday. Now, Waterford are supposed to have a couple of their injuries, but I think they have more bodies. I think they'll be able to put up with injuries more than we will.
Brilliant. And just finally, then, your book is out. It's going well and all around the countryside at the moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I expect huge sales in Tipperary. I have big connections with Tipperary. My Flannan's time was half Tipperary. I see Liam Minnie Heffernan is still producing hurlers for Tipperary. Fair play to him. I definitely drank illegally in the high B in Nina. So I have fond memories of Tipperary and Nina in particular. So hoping for a couple of sales.
Great stuff. And you were saying off air as well that our guest this evening, Eamon Corcoran. You coached Eamon once upon a time.
Coaching him now might be stretching it, but there wasn't much room for improvement with Eamon now when he played for Munster. He was a great player and a sound man, and wish him all the best.
Good stuff. Are you involved in coaching now?
I'm involved in coaching our under 13 team, which is managed by a Torless man. He mightn't like that now, Ken Ralph. I don't know, is he a Torless man? Is he, or he's from somewhere near Torless anyway? So I'm helping and Ken out with the under 13s. We have a game at 7 o'clock this evening against Airog, our first hurling match, our first championship match. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Great stuff. And he's Upper Church connections too, I think.
I thought it was Upper Church now that you mentioned it now. Ken played minor and under 31 for Tip, and he was a great club player for us. He was Munster Club Player of the Year in 97 for us when we won the Munster Club. Anyway, he's doing great work in Clarecastle still. And he's part of Brian Lohan's management. He's part of Brian Lohan's management team.
Great. We might claim him back sometime, so.
We've been trying to get rid of him for years, so he's not trying to go home. So, I don't know whether he'll hear. His brother might hear that, so.
Great stuff. John, it's been a pleasure talking to you this evening. Thanks for that.
Right, Simon. Thank you. All the best.
And that was John Callanan there. His new book is out, To Play to Live, part of the Legends series from Hero Books. And it's one of those books that you can win tonight on Across the Line this evening. The number to text is 083-311-3311 for a copy of Tipperary, Game of My Life and To Play to Live. The question is, who is the Tipperary senior hurling captain for 2021? You can text 083-311-3311. Before we leave inter-county hurling, we've heard from John Callanan in Clare. We've heard from Eamon Corcoran in Tipperary. Now we're going to get the views of the Ballingarry native Liam Cahill, who is manager of Waterford. I spoke to Liam in Walsh Park last Sunday and got his thoughts on Tip against Waterford.
Yeah, good workout for both sides, Stephen. Good weather, pitch in good order, and a nice little feel for championship that's coming down the tracks for both sides in 2 and 3 weeks time, respectively.
It was a fast game. There's a lot of pace to it here. First half was, Tip and Waterford to the fore. Second half, you came out of the blocks there and just started hitting scores at the start of the second half. Found a bit of breathing room.
Yeah, I think so. But, I know Tip were out a week later than ourselves, so maybe Tip's workload might have been a lot more severe during the week than ours because of being 3 weeks out. So, I wouldn't be reading a whole lot into that. I think, Tip looked that little bit more, heavy-legged towards the end of the game than we did. But again, it's all about managers gauging their run-in, and, we're 2 weeks out, so our workload is tailored that a little bit differently. So I'd be disappointed if we hadn't to finish that little bit sharper,
And, you're going in 2 weeks' time, so was this good preparation, or was it maybe a bit too soon because you have Austin Gleeson now on the sidelines?
Yeah, no, the workout itself beats all the challenge matches in the world, Stephen. It's a brilliant opportunity to get, again, real quality opposition. But we would have our concerns today after the game with the couple of knocks we picked up. But, that's hurling, and that's the risk you run, whether it is playing the final round of a league or whether it's Tuesday or Friday night you come training. If you're training hard and playing hard, there's always the risk of injury. So it's just unfortunate today that it's a couple of key men for me that that have carried little knocks, and we just hope we can get on top of them now over the next couple of days.
You've really got a good blend of hurling really there. Desi Hutchinson showed up brilliantly today. Like, you know, is it the same type of philosophy you had with Tip you brought into this yourself and Mikey?
I think so. I think the players themselves have shown me massive respect here, Stephen. They've really given me everything every day we go out and every day we train, and you know, they believe in what we're trying to do, and some days we'll get it wrong and some days we'll get it right. So I think we're accustomed to that, and we try to back one another as much as we can. And you know, the real proof of the pudding now is in 2 weeks' time when we face Clare. So that's whether or not we see if the work we put in comes to the fore or not. So whilst today it's fine, it's still, it'll be very low on everybody's agenda and discussions come the end of the championship in August anyway, that's for sure.
What do you think of the league format overall? You know, was it good for league managers and teams that you know, needed game time, or is it too soon to the championship? What do you think?
I think it's as good as it could be, I suppose, Stephen, under the circumstances, with the way we want to have our split season and making sure that we're trying to get our club action in some sort of decent weather as well. It had to probably happen the way it did on the inter-county scene, with a short run in our league and then straight into championship. So it's been a good league, I think. It's just a pity, I suppose, that the way it was structured, like it's the structure of it didn't allow for a play out of a final, really, I suppose, because, you know, it would have been nice today if Tip were playing, I suppose, for a bit of silverware in a proper league final.
All right, listen, best looking championship.
Thanks very much, Steve.
And that was Liam Cahill you just heard there. Well, we're going to take another quick break now here on Across the Line, and we'll be back with more sport after this. You're very welcome back to Across the Line. Stephen Gleeson here with you this evening, and we're looking at referees recruitment now for Tipperary in 2021. And joining me on the line to talk about this is Philip Kelly. Good evening, Philip.
Hi, Stephen. How's it going? Thanks very much for inviting me in this evening.
You're very welcome, Philip. Philip, just, I'm looking at a stat here that there's over 4,000 games played in our county on an annual basis. That is incredible. And it must be hard to find refs for 4,000 games.
Yeah, in fairness, you hit the nail on the head there with the stats. A lot of games, I suppose, from the county board, the four divisional boards across adult, juvenile. We have 77 clubs, and believe it or not, we just have under 100 referees covering all the matches.
Wow.
So, I suppose, we're always on the lookout for new referees, and every year we go back to the clubs looking for new candidates.
And it's something really that clubs have to be positive about to find referees, because if referees are viewed negatively within a club, which is the case, you have to say, in some instances, then it becomes a harder issue to find referees from that club.
Yeah, well, across our 77 clubs, would you believe this? Just under 20% of them clubs didn't have an active referee in 2020. That's a very high stat, and that's something that we set out as a target when we put a committee together there this year to go and target these clubs. I suppose, you know, the club has put in an effort, and clubs are putting in great effort. And in fairness now, you know, we're in the double figures now at the moment in relation to new candidates for the course, which is online.
Mm. And to become a referee, if someone is interested, they're listening this evening, they'd like to get involved in sport, maybe they're just not into playing, or maybe they're finished playing sport, how could they get involved?
Well, I suppose the first port of call, Stephen, would be their club, because they'd know the guys, the members in the club there. So if you contact your club, any of your division, the board, county board, the board officers, the referee coordinator. Our details are up on the Tipperary GA website, and I suppose we've gone out there through Twitter, email, and all social media, and the contact details are on there. So I'm more than welcome anyone coming on board, you know.
And what's the vibe you get from it? Do you feel that clubs are eager to get referees, or, you know, how is it?
Yeah, it's tough. Listen, I suppose you hear so many stories about the referees and how could you become a referee. I'll be honest with you, right? You know, listen, you have to raise yourself above what I call unfair criticism. We've heard the cliche that, you know, the hurler's on the ditch. There is a lot of them out there. But to be honest with you, like, refereeing can be very enjoyable. You know, you need to be, I suppose, cool, calm, collective. You do need to know the rules, and that's where, you know, in the recruitment, there is a great training course there. I know it was probably, I suppose, watered down a little bit in relation to, due to COVID and on the online, but normally there was I suppose, added up to about 8 hours of training. But it probably is a little bit less than that now with the online, you know.
And it's a tricky enough thing to become a ref. Like, you have a fitness test, so you need to keep fit. But isn't it a great way to keep fit because you're going out to the matches then?
Absolutely. Listen, you're inside in the middle of the field. I'll be honest with you, right? It's like playing a match and you're not getting the belts. I'll be perfectly honest with you now. You're inside in the middle of the field. You have to prepare yourself. You have to be physically and mentally fit. You still have to mind yourself, come up to a big match. The pressure is on you like the pressure is on the corner forward taking the free in the last minute to draw the match or to win it. So, you know, every move is watched, and a lot of people strive under the pressure, and it's not hard pressure, don't get me wrong now, Stephen, right? As I say, the under-12 match, the player in the under-12 match, that match is important to him as much as the senior inter-county boys got out in Croke Park on All-Ireland Day. That's their All-Ireland final, them under-12 players. And you're the person in charge. You have to be authoritative. You have to be fair. And you have to look after everyone on that field and show no favouritism to anyone.
And just looking at your committee here, briefly before we finish, John Ryan is the chairperson. You're the secretary of the referee recruitment committee. Derek O'Mahony is there for the South Division. Franny Quinn in the West. Seamus Delaney, the maid. I mean, like, take Derek O'Mahony, for instance. He has been in Croke Park in front of 82,000. You know, he's been there on the big day and has a part to play. And there is a route to that through refereeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, the pathway starts at your club, the same as a player, exactly the same as a player. You can be a club player, you can make your way up to run out the tunnel on All-Ireland final day above in Croker. Derek, you know, we very high-profile inter-county wrestling are set up. You mentioned Derek there. We have Fergal, we have Sean Lonergan. We also have great upcoming referees at national and provincial, and Kevin Jordan, Michael Kindy, Conor Doyle, Peter Carroll, to name but a few. And in fairness, there is a pathway there. Not everyone, like the players, Stephen, not everyone is going to referee an All-Ireland final, a referee a county final, but, you know, you should go out and basically go as high as you can and do the best you can.
Great stuff, Philip. And is there a closing date if someone is listening that they need to apply by?
Well, I suppose there's four modules. The first two modules are online. Once they make contact with us, we'll give them a link, password, the whole lot, and how to log in. We are hoping to close that by the 30th of June, which is only really 2 weeks' time. Now, there may be an extension on that because pending COVID guidelines on opening up on July the 5th, because the third module is in person, which will probably be in, we'll have in Turles or someone in middle ground in the county. So that will be in person, but obviously we'd wait for the guideline restrictions to ease on that. So there's lots of time, I suppose, to get in contact with any one of the guys here that you've mentioned there or your club. You know, we'll welcome everyone on board.
Great stuff. Philip, it's been a pleasure talking to you this evening. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for the promo. Good night.
And that was Philip Kelly, the Secretary of the Referee Recruitment Committee, and they're really pushing to get referees, and it's great to get involved. If you're interested, get in touch through your local club there. Loads of matches on this weekend, and the fine weather is there. There's loads of games out this evening across the divisions. The FPD Insurance County Junior A Hurling Championship semi-final is on tomorrow, Toome against Aravale Rovers at 7 o'clock, and that game is in the rag tomorrow. So huge game. Loads of matches as well in the County Football League on this weekend and the County Hurling League. And a huge game for the Tipperary Camogie team who are playing this weekend. The second team in Tipperary, the intermediate side, so disappointing for the seniors last weekend going down to Kilkenny, but it is the chance of the intermediates to stay up in their division this weekend. And joining me now is Katie McCormack to chat about it. Hi Katie.
Hi Stephen, how are you?
Good. Katie, this is a huge game for the Tipperary intermediate Camogie side.
Yeah, it's a massive one. I suppose they'll be really fighting to stay up Division 2. You know, you want to be playing at the top level you can, and that's what this intermediate team want. And I suppose it was only two short years ago or recently that they won Division 2, so I'd say they'll be in a bit of shock there at this stage now, but that's the way it falls sometimes.
And it's a very young team with a new management team, and you know they've a separate management team this year to the senior squad for the first time in the last number of years. So do you think that's been a factor in this year's league campaign?
Yeah, it's a big change. I suppose it's also important to note that this team didn't get to compete last year. The Camogie Association made a decision that any county that had two teams wouldn't be allowing second teams to compete. So the intermediate campaign went ahead, but the intermediate team didn't get to, Tip intermediate team didn't get to play, so this team actually had a year off, I suppose you could say, as a unit, and then they came in, and I suppose I'd say a lot of the girls were calling for this in split management. You know, you want a dedicated manager to each team, and they got that. Keane Trace took them over, and he has a good backroom team there with him, but it's a big change, and I suppose a lot of young girls are using it as a stepping stone for the senior team, and introducing the Gemma Fox, Jillanne Quirk, you know, that they were all really important changes, and they're making their impact on the team, and they just need to get a few wins under their belt now, I suppose.
And they had losses so far against Cork, Galway, Kerry and Derry, but I suppose they're just learning and finding their feet, because they did have no matches last year, which is a huge drawback, but this relegation final against Dublin, do you think they'll have learned from the other games?
Yeah, I think they will. Like in all the games, Cork, Galway against Kerry, they were making fight backs, unfortunately, just at the wrong time. The other team would always get the goal. Like in Cork, they were making a major fight back in the second half, and they were lucky when the goals are going in. So I think they'll be looking to straighten up that back line, I suppose. Like they'll be looking at Courtney Ryan at centre back to take control, and be looking at Christina Brennan from drum full back. Like, they're the kind of the older players on the team, and they'll be looking at them to take control now against Dublin going forward. And like it's important to note here that this intermediate team have lost the likes of Beth Ryan with prior commitments this year and couldn't be in there. Claire Saclum has gone on to the senior panel, so has Andrew Lucan. So there's big changes going on, but I think they will have learned. They'll have learned that they can't take their foot off the pedal, and they need to be scoring goals themselves, and they'll be looking at Sinead Maher to be putting the paw up and catching those balls and rattling the back of the net against the Dubs.
Great stuff. And Katie, tomorrow evening, Banagher, 5 o'clock. So just briefly, how do you think it's going to go?
I think Tip have it in them. It'll be interesting to see how Dublin fix it. Like, this is Dublin's second team as well, and you know, players 26 to 32 on those senior panels can come down if they haven't featured in the Division 1 league. And Tip will be hoping that they don't do that, because Tip aren't using the two panels fluidly. They're very much two camps. And it'll be interesting to see if Dublin do that, like, because that'll obviously give them that extra step. But I think if both teams play with what the intermediate teams have been playing, I think Tip will go ahead. Like, Dublin lost, they had a bad loss there to Laois. Laois was first team last weekend, but I think Tip can do it. They just need to not concede goals, and they need to be wrapping the back of the net, Jan, putting the balls over the bar, and Jenny Grace will hopefully do that captain's role.
Brilliant stuff. Katie McCormack, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Stephen.
And that was Katie there, ahead of Tip and Dublin tomorrow in Banagher. 5 o'clock is that game. Well, it is a huge one. We're going to take another quick commercial break here, and we're back with local soccer and the Euros after this. You're very welcome back to Across the Line with me, Stephen Gleeson, filling in this evening for Shane. So it is time for football now and local soccer here. And joining me on the line now is Mike Young, the chair of the NTDL. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Stephen. How are you?
Good. Mike, you're busy across the fields in North Tip at the moment. The current season, we'll say the 2020-21 season, is ongoing, and there's a break then, and then the new season starts. So just give us a flavour of what's happening at the moment on the fields
at
Tip.
Well, at the moment, Stephen, we're hoping everything going well. We should be finished all divisions and cups within the 2 to 3 weeks. And that would leave us then with hopefully everything going well to start the new season in the 1st of August 21.
Brilliant. Sounds good. So you've got that gap.
And I'd like to go and thank the clubs and managers and secretaries and the referees for their cooperation, which things are making it very easy for our massive Gerard Larkin, who does the fixtures, which is not easy. And they're a big help to you.
And who's in the running at the moment in the Premier, the first and the second?
Yeah, the Premier Division is down to a couple of teams, Nina Celtic, Ballymackey and Loch Derrick. It's probably Nina Celtics to lose. I mean, they're doing very, very well after losing Mark Welsh to Limerick. And I mean, it's theirs to lose, but it's down to three teams at the minute. First Division, down to Clodagh Rangers are home and hose. They only need 1 point. They're way ahead, 16 points. Portumna are behind them, and they're 25. They also were in with a shout to go and win the second Division between themselves and Burt Hill. Giving Clodagh Rangers a chance of winning two leagues, the First Division and Second Division.
Absolutely fantastic, and great numbers playing in Drumban as well this summer. And it's great for players to be able to get out now and get matches, because they were without games for so long.
That's correct, I said again, and the cooperation, I said again, receiving is great, and we're having very, very few games, if any, called off due to, we nearly said, the weather. But we have, you know, I said again, we're down to the cup competitions as well, which we're down to semi-finals in the three competitions, the Ricky Fogarty Cup, we have the Barry Cup, and the Norrochindy Cup. The Ricky Fogarty has Nina Celtic, Killavilla, Loch Derrick and Barraway Rovers. The Barry Cup, Clodagh Rangers A and Arrow Rovers, Portumna and Rare Cross. And the Norrochindy Cup, we have Ballymackey B and Moneygall B and Silvermines and Holy Cross. And that's a great cross-section of teams that are in with a chance of winning silverware, which is great for the league. It's not been won by the one club year in, year out. There's a good spread.
And that's something. How are you finding with the players? How have they adapted to summer football? Do you think it's something that you'll have going forward?
The vibes are good, because the fact of this, that, you know, we're playing midweek games at the moment. We're Wednesdays and Sundays, and we can facilitate them to play other nights as well if two teams agree. And I mean, pitches are excellent. And I mean, the fine even, there's an awful difference between playing a soccer game of a grand even or hurling or any game for that matter than playing it of a wet Sunday morning or a wet Sunday in the wintertime. And the majority of clubs are in favour of it. But then I said again, it's down to the decision of the clubs next year. We have three years are up. And the clubs will then decide whether they want to go back to the winter soccer.
And it's going to help long term. It's going to help, I think, just the touch, the skill that's involved. We're just a few seconds left. Just news coming from the Euros is that Christian Eriksen has been discharged from hospital. Great news with that, Mike.
That's great news. I mean, I said again, it's very sad to go and look at a player going down, but it emphasises again the things that can happen at any game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, most clubs, I said again, never think that a player could go down, a healthy player, fit player, but look, it can happen. But I said again, it's great to hear that he's out.
Great stuff. Listen, Mike, it's been a pleasure talking to you this evening. From me, Stephen Gleeson, my thanks to all my guests here and Across the Line. And thanks to Paul Carroll, who produced this evening. Shane is back next week. From me here, Slán an Ish. Good night.